your prioritization to the commission, because at the August meeting, the commission will make the decision and use your recommendations as you know, a good piece of that for their evaluation. So this, again, it's hearing the report, asking questions about the reports, providing feedback to the principal investigators, and letting them then decide how they want to proceed once the window is open for actually submitting research projects for the next fiscal year. The documents that are attached for the reports from last year and the industry's response to the report are just there for information purposes. We will not, I mean, we will not be discussing those today. We will be discussing only providing feedback on moving forward, and we have two good proposals to discuss and evaluate, and that's the purpose of today's meeting. So with that, Mo, do you want to kind of just go over a little bit, you know, generally what the schedule would be so that folks are, you know, I alluded to it, but, you know, it's pretty much the same every year. Do you want to add to that? Mo, you're muted if you're trying to speak. There you go. Go ahead, Mo. We're not actually hearing you, Mo, just so you know. If your volume isn't on or what, I see you're not muted anymore, but we're not hearing you.
Okay.
There you go.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, now we hear you, Mo.
Okay. As you recall, at the July meeting, July 28th, you know, the committee reviewed the research, the final draft report on the research project, and part of the motion or the action on the report is to really evaluate the next step for this project. And that's why you see that on the agenda, the scope of this meeting is to mainly to look at the next research step for this project. And as Jeff said, we're only looking at reviewing the proposals for the next step. You have two proposals before you. That what we're trying to do at this meeting, or the objective of this meeting, is to do just that, to review the proposal and give some feedback on them. There is no action, you know, will be taken in any of these proposals, with the hope that whatever, you know, from the feedback that interest group, whoever interested in pursuing this subject, that they would submit, a proposal based on the feedback from the committee, toward the next year research program. As you know, we every year we mainly get set a level of funding where we can fund some research projects, and normally the process is start by at staff through the agenda asking for potential research projects. So we allow interested groups, in this case, to submit, a potential research project. In this case, we probably will start a little bit earlier. We're hoping that early next year, we will start opening mainly the work towards a future research project. And that's where anybody interested in submitting a potential research project will do. And I think we can also look at maybe reviewing the process more in depth and see if there's any tweaking or any change to it is necessary. And so what I'm saying at this point is that in terms of research projects and the consideration of those research projects will be done through the next year research program. And it will be done, as we've done always, based on the critical needs to really to improve the curve. So we only look at the research project that's really necessary to improve the Florida building code. So I'm hoping that, by, as I said, early next year, we will have a just a meeting to look at the work plan and then the process for the next physical year research project. Thank you.
Thank you, Mo. All right, so in summary, we'll receive the reports from each of the principal investigators, University of Florida, Fenestration Industry. You'll provide, ask questions about things you don't understand, would like to know something more about, provide any feedback you want to offer. We'll hear from the public and then the committee, and then we'll go to the next one and do that. And that will pretty much be the deal. And as Mo said, sometime early next year, we'll meet again and review the work plan for the year and sort of, you know, get feedback on the process that we've used over the years for doing this. Okay, is any...
Just a question, Jeff, before you get started. Joe Belcher, just to make sure I understand, there's no foregone conclusion that this research project, either one of these research projects, will be accepted in the next go-round. It's just that we're doing a very early free review of two proposals. Is that my understanding correct?
Yes, these are being treated exactly.
I mean, everybody's talking like this is one of these is going to go, but this doesn't necessarily. I want to make sure we all understand. This is still going to have to go through the regular process, correct?
Correct. This is no. This is all. This is what we normally do, but earlier than normal. It's an opportunity to hear the report, provide feedback, and then the principal investigators will submit these at some point if they choose to. There's no foregone conclusion that either of these reports will be funded. The committee will make that decision in August, after they've had a chance to review all the proposals that have been received. Then they'll look at them all, discuss them, we'll evaluate them, we'll do a ranking exercise like we've done every year since 2005 when we started this.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else have any questions? Any other members have any questions? Okay, very good. It looks like. So what we will ask is David Pravat. I don't see him on here, though. Is there anybody from UF who was here to present on David Pravat's report? Okay, then I think what I'm going to say that we should do, and Jim, let me know if you think that makes sense, is we can go ahead and hear from the fenestration industry, and once we're done with that, you know, we'll hear from the public, provide comments and feedback. We can see if someone from UF is on the phone, and if not, if the members wish to, you know, have had a chance to look at the report. I read them both. I'm not sure if everybody else has or not, and has some comments I just want to offer up. We could do that briefly as well, but obviously it won't be as powerful as if the person who put the proposal is here. Jim Schock, does that seem like a good plan to you?
Yeah, I think that's fine. I've also read through the reports, and I think probably most of those on the committee have done that. So we have a pretty good idea. But I agree with you, Jeff. That's fine.
Okay, great. All right, so who from the fenestration industry is going to sort of present your proposal?
Jeff, this is Jen Hatfield. I just have a couple opening remarks, and then it's going to be Jason Seals. So just maybe the two of us.
Okay, go ahead, Jen.
All right, thanks so much. All right, well, good afternoon, HREC members. You know, many of you know me, I think, from when we actually used to be able to hold these meetings in person. But my name is Jen Hatfield, and I'm speaking today on behalf of the fenestration industry. That includes the research advisory group members representing the Fenestration and Glazing Industry Alliance, as well as the Fenestration Manufacturers Association and the Window and Door Manufacturers Association. We want to thank you today for the opportunity to speak. We hope you had a chance to review our industry report, which was provided in today's agenda, as Jeff mentioned. And we are, of course, happy to answer any questions you may have regarding any aspect of that report, which was a comprehensive industry report to just address concerns with the UF study or the UF report. But as mentioned today, we're here to discuss what is in Appendix 7 of the industry report, which is going to provide our proposed future research for your consideration. And I just would like to turn it over to Jason Seals from FGIA, who's going to outline how that research could work. And again, and then we'll look forward to answering any questions. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Jen. All right, Jason, go ahead and please present the industry's proposal, and we'll take public comment, and then the committee can ask questions and do comments as well.
All right, thanks, Mr. Moderator, and committee members for having us today. I guess I just need to clear up one thing really quick. This is not a proposal for future research so much as a proposal that the HRAC can use when setting priorities for future research. We didn't come in with a complete proposal to be able to do future research. What we wanted to provide was an alternative to what we were seeing come out of the UF report, and something that we could that the HRAC could use that was based on data that could actually identify problems, and then use that identification of problems to come up with solutions. So at some point, the HRAC is going to have to prioritize what kind of research they want to see in the future. I think that's something that was covered at the last HRAC meeting last month. And so what we're hoping is that what we're putting forward here can be used as a guide to prioritizing any future research that might happen on the building envelope and fenestration in particular. So okay. That being said, we understand that this is going to have to be taken up by some kind of a university or a Florida public body to actually do this. We're not proposing that the FGIA, WDMA, and FMA actually become the principal investigators. Like we're saying, this is just an outline that we hope that someone will be able to take up and flesh out and come up with an actual scope to be proposed for future research. So one of the reason that we felt that it was important for us to put this outline together was the result of everything that led up to the UF project, that feasibility study. It never actually identified or prioritized figuring out what the root cause of the water penetration, the water leakage seen after Hurricane Irma in the 15 buildings in question was. There was never any forensic testing done. There was all of the suppositions on where the water came from just one single source that unfortunately we weren't able to verify. So what we hope that any future fenestration or product research will be in the future will be actually come from actual observations and testing. So this is how we envision it could happen. It would be a two-part study. The first part would be non-destructive based on observations, and the second part would actually involve testing. So,
Jason, excuse me for one second. Should we go ahead and put up your document while you're speaking? Would that be helpful?
You could, sure.
Jim or Tom, whoever's doing that, would you put up the fenestration industry proposal and sort of, you know, we can kind of follow along. And Jason, feel free to, you know, tell Jim where you would like him to be in the document as you go.
Sorry. Yeah, would you like me to hand it off to Jason and let him show his screen and him do it?
Jason, would you like to do that?
I could. I have a PowerPoint if that would be helpful.
I'd say it's up to you. If you think it would be helpful and it's not, you know, too long, I think that would be
I think great. It's seven slides. It's just
Well, why don't we do that? Why don't we go ahead and turn it to you and you can put your PowerPoint up.
Okay.
I think it would help everybody see, you know, what you're saying. And
absolutely. All right, let me get arranged here.
We are able to see your presentation now.
All right, great. Let me turn off all these notifications so things don't pop up and embarrass me.
Yeah, we all know how that goes.
All right, so where was I? Oh, part one. So it's going to be we envision a two-part study. The first part would involve non-destructive observations. So after the next major storm that blows through. What we propose is that The research group would go out and physically survey these mid-rise and high-rise buildings that lay in the storm's path. And these buildings would be classified into two primary categories: those that had water penetration reported for resulting from the storm, and those that did not. And we think that's very important to include both types of buildings in that study, so that not only can we examine buildings that did have problems, but that buildings did not have problems, and have a way to compare and contrast how those buildings were constructed. And so the construction and the makeup of the building envelope for both types of buildings would be analyzed and documented using the investigative techniques and methods found in AMA 511 and ASTM E2128. And I can't figure out how to advance my slides.
You may have these four little key arrows in white there, left, sorry. Up and down.
Sorry about that. So the features that should be analyzed when we're looking at these buildings should include a whole list of stuff that's in E2128 and AMA 511. It should include a review of the architectural and structural drawings for the buildings, the product specification, any test and inspection reports that were used to select the products, or to maybe in building commissioning when the buildings were being constructed, fenestration assembly shop drawings, interviews with the building staff and with building occupants. So if there is any reported water leakage, then we could and that's also important in documenting in the research. Also, interior and exterior observations of the building envelope. So not only would, during these walkthroughs, would we be looking at the inside of the building to see if there's any observed water penetration in there, but we would also be going on the outside of the building using either scaffolding or swing state or whatever's necessary to actually examine the exterior of the building. What the exterior condition of the fenestration is, if there's any cracks in the stucco, if the flashing is in good shape on like parapet walls and around balconies, if the expansion joints around that go between the transition of materials in the building envelope are in good shape, do they need maintenance? The installation joint between the fenestration and the buildings, how do those look? So there's just a whole list of stuff that needs to be examined on the outside of the building to make sure it's in good condition. And so after all that data collection is completed, these building envelope features should be compared and contrasted to identify any emerging trends. That analysis would identify all the envelope features that we believe perform well, those that did not perform well, and features that would require further investigation. And so in part two, that's where we would actually get into actual forensic testing. And that testing would be use the investigative techniques found in AMA 511 and E2128. Ideally, that testing would be performed on the buildings where water leakage was identified in part one of the study, and it would require cooperation of the building owners and managers and the occupants. It's also important to note that it could be very disruptive, that there may not be, we may not be able to access those buildings either because the occupants just don't want us in there, or it would just be too disruptive to their normal activities. So if it's not possible to test in these occupied buildings, then kind of as a secondary plan, we could construct a series of mock-ups that would replicate the conditions that were found in these buildings that did report problems or had the features that were identified during the part one of the study that required further investigation, to get a mock-up of those types of features. And then we would subject those to water penetration testing to see exactly how they performed and if those types of features or details need modification in future projects in order to be able to perform well. So that's just the basic outline of what we're proposing right now. Is there any questions on that from anybody from the committee?
Committee members, do you have any questions?
Vince Sayhouse here. It seems like logical, common sense approach. I think the difficulty here is getting cooperation from the unit owners and management to allow you to come in, dirty up their apartments a little bit and set up some equipment and dangle on the side of the building and so forth. But no, this looks like a very common sense and forensically detailed approach.
Joe Belcher.
Go ahead, Joe.
I agree with Vince. I think this is a good approach. My question, do you have any thought or plan on determining who would do the actual work, the principal investigators? Are we bound and tied to, this is partially the staff, partially the administration engineer, are we bound and tied to a particular university, or would your plan be to go out and find somebody to make develop a proposal off of your recommendations?
This is Mamadani. I think really this is we can talk about next year when we open the program for initial research project, but as we have done throughout, it's really
you're breaking up,
Mo. No, you're not coming through very clearly. I don't know if there's anything you can do.
Okay, well, let's see.
That seems better now. Try again.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. All I'm saying, Joe, is that something we can talk about during the next step, which is next year, when we look at the work plan for the next year research project. That, as we have done throughout the year, we normally receive a proposal from an interest party, and an interest party can really work with a principal investigator. Our preference always has been that could be from a university, because it's easy to do contractual agreements with the university and all that. And also universities, normally they have the tools and the research facility to do the work. You are not, limited to University of Florida, because university within the state of Florida where you can do research. So, but that's something we can talk about during the next year step for moving forward in the next year research project.
Jeff, this is Mark Michelson. I got just a clarification on what Mo said.
One second. I'll get to you. Joe, did you want to follow up first?
Thank you. Thank you, Mo. I like this approach, and this is a way of encouraging the fenestration industry to look for and seek a principal to propose this. Thank you.
All right, go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. Mo, did you say that the proposals could come in from universities or colleges outside of Florida, or do they have to be in Florida? I didn't hear that.
No, our preference, and it has been, because for the universities, is the state money, and then we have a good institution in Florida that can do the work. So I would say state university, Florida State University.
And just as an aside, the state statute is set up to encourage that, and the process is really done, statutorily, so that state agencies can easily contract with Florida state universities, any university in the state that's in the state university system. So I've got
Jeff, thanks. Just one other follow-up. Would it be, and it seemed like this was with other proposals that we've seen and reviewed, Can there be universities or colleges outside of the state of Florida that could collaborate with a Florida state university or college on a proposal?
Sure, and that's happened. Oh, go ahead, Tom, if you wanted to say something, it's okay.
No, if you've got it, Jeff, it's fine. The answer to that question is yes. As long as the contract runs through and is being administered by the state university that's in Florida.
And universities collaborate like that all the time, and it's a completely normal way to work together. So many of the projects that I've done personally worked on with Florida State University, we've done with other universities, University of Maryland or, University of Virginia, things like that. So that's just a real common way to do it. And it's a really, it's a good way, and it's a good way of bringing in additional expertise.
Great. Okay. Thank you. I thought so, but I appreciate the confirmation. Thank you.
Sure. Other committee members? Go ahead, Jim. Sorry. Go ahead, Jim.
Just a quick question. Are you only looking for clarifying questions, or do you want comments on the proposal at this time as well?
Well, what I thought is we would go ahead and just do clarifying questions, let the public comment, and then come back, and then you as a group can do all the comments you want, if that's okay.
Okay, I'll hold off.
I think it works out better to do the questions first. That way everybody's questions are answered, and then we're in the mode to provide feedback. Any other committee members have any questions before I go to the public for their questions and or comments?
Well, Jeff, I had a couple more slides.
Okay, sure. Go ahead, Jason.
If you wanted to go ahead and cover those real quick.
Yeah, let's do that.
And so we had our two-part proposal there, the non-destructive and the destructive part. I think that Joe or Vince is right that it probably is going to be difficult to gain access, but I think that the non-destructive part that we proposed in part one is that part's going to happen anyway, because if we have these water damaged buildings, then there's going to be investigators going in there to figure out what went wrong and how it has to be repaired, both for insurance purposes and just to remediate the building so any damage that happens gets fixed so the building doesn't continue to leak. So I think the non-destructive part in part one, where we just do these surveys on buildings that leaked and hopefully buildings that did not leak, could be done fairly easily and also could yield a wealth of information. Just if we identify and investigate enough buildings, we could really identify some emerging trends in there. And I think that would really help the ATRAC in the future when making these kind of research proposals and recommendations on the code. And so there's another study out there, and it's not ours, it didn't come from us, but it's something that was presented to the FGI at one point. We thought that would be great to put forward to just make the ATRAC aware of, and that comes from Cornell University, and I think it comes from Art Gaetano, Dave Gaetano, and also from Jay Crandall of Aries Consulting. I think I saw Jay on the attendee list today, so he may be able to speak to this a little more. But what they're proposing to do in this study is to create rainfall maps for the entire United States, Puerto Rico, and Guam. And then, as far as I understand, these rainfall maps would be they would use a lot of NOAA data, weather climatology data, in order to create a actual rainfall maps similar to what they've done in Canada. So that would be similar to the maps that are generated for structural wind speeds that we find in the code and in ASCE 7, except they would be related to rainfall. And at the FGI, we think that this kind of study, where we actually get actual historical rainfall trend maps like this, could be very helpful for the Florida Building Commission when they're working on the code in the future to be able to specify the right design pressures and wind water resistance ratings that are needed for various components within the building envelope. So I think this is one project that the ATRAC may want to monitor going forward. And then one other project that we have seen lately comes from another another organization. It's called the Wind Hazard and Infrastructure Performance Center, WIPC. And what this is it's a partnership between government and universities and industries. It was established using National Science Foundation funding. It has two major universities involved, one in Florida, Texas Tech, and Florida International in Miami, as well as the Florida Institute of Technology. Like I said, the National Science Foundation is involved as well as the National Wind Institute. And it also involves a lot of big hitters in the insurance industry, State Farm, GAF, AIR, Berkshire Hathaway. There's a lot of real industry interest in these. And what their mission is to enhance the resiliency of buildings and infrastructure to extreme windstorms, including hurricanes and tornadoes. And they have four research projects going on right now. Two of those are actually directly related to fenestration systems. You can see those right here. One of them is investigation of wind-driven rain and wind-induced vibration effects on curtain wall systems. The second one that might be of interest to the commission and the committee is the estimation of interior and content damage due to wind-driven rain egress into mid and high-rise buildings. So I would encourage the HRAC in the future, as they're looking at research projects to potentially fund, might also be to work with this other organization here, because I think these might also inform their decisions about future recommendations to the commission. And that's all I have.
Okay, great. Thanks, Jason. That was a really interesting and informative presentation. Let's go ahead and just get public comment, and then we'll come back and the committee can ask questions and provide feedback. Members of the public, if you'd like to speak, first I'll stack a list. Give me your name and I'll get you. Okay. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, I didn't realize the work I was trying to put together was going to come up during this call, but I think it definitely fits. And appreciate the opportunity to participate. Thank you. I want to get a little bit of background on that research project. It's currently open seeking funding. It doesn't have funding sources together yet. There's been industry interests in funding the work. I've worked with Art Degadano on other similar projects like this related to what I would call coincidental risks. And what we're talking about here is the risk of coincidental wind and rain, i.e. wind-driven rain. To have a risk-consistent basis for dealing with this issue, we need to have that mapped out, whether it's state by state or the goal here was to do it at a national scale so that we could begin to bring the fairness criteria into the code that then manufacturers can test to and designers can specify to and so forth and so on. So I see this as foundational for any activity on establishing wind-driven rain requirements. If you don't understand the hazard and establish appropriate limit states for that hazard, I think it needs to be decoupled from structural design because the consequences are different, yet they still need to be dealt with. And this would provide the basis to be able to do that, whether for an individual state or nationally. And ARM has done this type of work for various climate issues. I worked with them in the past on the coincidental risk of snow and ground frozen, which have obvious interactions as to what we need to do with foundation depths. They have access to all the data to be able to look at rainfall records and combine wind. Some of the newest data that's now available through NOAA stations, and I think there's several hundreds of them now across the country that have a reasonable period of record that can get back to an actual 5-minute record of rainfall, so you can actually get the rainfall rate that's happening, which would be important because you need a left rainfall rate whereby you would have sufficient rain to actually have a little bit of course in a hurricane, and that's pretty easy to pass over. We all know that. But this would give you the ability to establish hazards as they might vary across the state. And then with the other research that was just presented, we were looking at more of the response of the building envelope. You can start to establish an appropriate hazard that gets you to a response level that seems appropriate and risk consistent. So I appreciate this being brought up. I think it would be awesome if Florida in some way interested in funding this project, and I would put you or whatever university in Florida would be working on this in direct contact with HARD. I think it would be a good thing to consider and possibly a pretty good team.
Great. Thank you, Jay. Appreciate it. All right. Anybody else in the public wish to speak? All right. Then I'm going to go back to
the Hello. Other.
Yes.
Fernando with the vinyl siding.
Okay, Fernando, go ahead.
I just wanted to say we are very much in support of the fenestration proposal in the sense of an approach. Industry has a lot of insight into the issues with their products, and certainly we do. We do research expeditions after every single high wind event, not just in Florida, but throughout the United States, including tornadoes, straight line winds, other hurricanes, such as affecting Louisiana. We have a really big database of the issues and can pinpoint, and we think the forensic approach is very, very important. So if we're focusing research, it's actually focused on the major problems and not maybe some other, you know, kind of extrapolated criteria that may have some utility, but wouldn't be the first criteria. In other words, try to prioritize the research, and I think industry can play a part, and we would like to, and I believe we will also follow suit and submit a proposal. Thank you,
Fernando. All right, anybody else in the public wish to comment? All right, I'm going to go to our committee. Okay, Hurricane Research Advisory Committee. Jim, would you, I think we should, Jay, could you mute yourself? You've got a lot of background noise coming through. Yeah, that's it. Thank you. Committee members, questions and or comments, feedback to this approach. Yes, Mr. Belcher. Joe, go ahead.
I thought Jim had something he wanted to make. I thought he was on the list first, but I want to get on the list.
Jim, is that right? Jim Schock?
Yeah, I can mention something. It doesn't matter whether I go first or not, I guess. I think from a scientific standpoint, the approach that the fenestration industry is suggesting is probably more realistic. My concern with it would be the extended length of the time and cost to conduct such a project. I don't know if it fits into our normal parameters of a year, and I think that could be problematic. I do like a lot of the information that is, I guess, already under some consideration and testing and investigation from other agencies. I would like to see Florida incorporate itself with some of that kind of testing, so that it's not duplicate. A lot of times it seems like we do duplicate testing. Centering on existing buildings, I'm not sure that's the best approach in my mind anyway. Of course, every building is going to be unique. Everyone has a different situation, different maintenance, different times it was built. And so what you look at is going to be unique for that building, but not necessarily industry-wide. I would suggest maybe approaching a different way. First of all, see what's out there, what kind of investigation is going on out there. But, you know, possibly go out to some large architectural firms and get copies of the kind of fenestrations that they design and use it on their drawings and pick the ones that seem to be more common and then build a mock-up and test it. And then you have a controlled condition and you know what's going on. But when you deal with existing buildings, you know, everyone's going to be unique. Everyone's going to be different. I guess that's an overall comment for both UF and the fenestration industry, in my mind anyway.
Okay. Thanks, Jim. Mr. Belcher, I believe you're next.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to thank the fenestration industry for all the work they put into this. The report was good, and I like the proposal. I think we've got, 2 years into this now, counting the work group and the research money, and we still don't have any real answer to what is the cause. Is there something wrong with the fenestration? Is it the fenestration leak? Is there something wrong with it? Was it the installation? We don't have any answers, any real answers, any verifiable answers to those questions. And before we put any more money into anything, we need to put money into finding answers to those questions too. The fenestration industry calls it the root causes. We don't know what the root causes are. So we can't really do anything. We can't be talking about changing the code if we don't know what those root causes are. And I think that's where we need to put our emphasis, and we need to ask for proposals that would give us some answers to those questions. Thank you.
Okay. Committee members? Okay, Jeff, go ahead.
I'm going to echo what Joe just said. And at some point in the presentation from the Fenestration Association, it was see what works and what doesn't. And if you have buildings that are in the same essential storm event where they're geographically similar locations, similar exposure, etc., and one of them leaks, one of them didn't, there's a reason for that. And it may be the products that were used. It may have been the design. It may have been the installation. It may have been a product failed. It may be God knows how many different things. But if you don't look at both what worked and what didn't work, you're not going to be able to figure it out. And as the gentleman from the Fenestration Association stated, there's going to be work there anyway because somebody's got to fix it and look into it. The insurance companies will be involved. So you have the access to the ones that failed. The ones that didn't fail, maybe not so much. But I think it's important to look at, you know, what was the problem or the root cause, as Joe referred to it. And if we don't get that, we're spitting in the wind, I believe. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. Any other committee members have any feedback?
Ben Sayas here, on the heels of that comment, I mean, here in Miami, they even mentioned Florida International University being involved already with NOAA and some other projects with the board and the commission. They do have their own wall of wind. I think, that's a pretty easy synergistic solution, I would say, for them to do perhaps some mock-ups or some lab testing with the wall of wind and then looking for a few buildings post-event and test some of those hypotheses. It could be something as simple as the fenestration to structural substrate juncture right there that the waterproofing failed, or it could be a stucco failure. So I find that ability or that that facility might actually be just up this type of study's alley. I'm just thinking because I recall that they had proposed one or two studies during this recent go around, and that might be a good place to start, or at least initiate a conversation. Maybe the fenestration industry can actually touch base with some of those people that proposed studies already.
Okay, great. Thanks, Vince. Anybody else from the committee?
Ann Coe.
All right, Ann, then Sergio. Go ahead, Ann.
Thank you so much. So I really appreciate you mentioning these other research projects that are currently underway. And Jay happens to be on the call and provided, you know, a status of where that is right now. I know we at IVHS are following that particular proposal and are interested in seeing other entities agree to provide some of the funding. So that'll be interesting to monitor. I'm curious, and maybe this is a question for the HRIC as opposed to a question back to the proposal, but you know, could we invite, knowing that this is research that we want to monitor and want to hear about, could we invite FIU to provide a synopsis of the project that relates to this when it is completed? I think that they would be amenable to doing that if we wanted to request the additional information to help us in our understanding of the best and most currently available science.
Right. I think the answer is yes.
Yeah. The moment, Danny, I mean, we're hoping yes. I think we actually working with them as we speak with two research projects. We're trying to really for the year. So I think they're available. If there's any information they can provide or any research that's ongoing, sure. You know, I'll touch base with them and see if there is anything that they can provide. Sure.
Oh, fantastic! Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Dan. Okay, Sergio.
Thank you, Jeff. The fenestration industry's response raised many concerns, and it kind of piqued my interest. Together with Jason's presentation on a two-part, but not to sound repetitive, but I think that I voiced the same approach that other members have already spoke about, is the need for forensics to determine what does work and what doesn't work, and possibly together with some testing through FIU's techniques, you know, find out more about it. But I think before we spend any more money on research, that I think that forensics on this cause should be a priority. Thank you.
Thank you, Sergio. All right. Any other committee members have any feedback? Okay. Great. Well, thank you, Jason. That was a good presentation. I think it sparked a lot of discussion and. At our next meeting, discussing approaches and different things will be, and who might be principal investigators and that sort of thing will be a good discussion then. So let's see. We've heard from the fenestration industry regarding their proposal, Jason Seals and Jennifer Hatfield. I still don't see David Pravat on the call, but I'll check anyway. Is there anybody from UF who is here to present their research proposal concept? All right. Then I guess we can just open it up if anybody has any. I'll go to the committee first to see if you have any thoughts about David Pravat's proposal. Any comments, any feedback? I guess questions wouldn't really be appropriate because, you know, he's not here to answer the questions, but if you have anything you wanted to say about it, you might as well go ahead and take those comments. Jim Schock, did you want to say something?
I'd only say ditto to what I said before.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yes, this is Paul McDonough. I think, you know, assuming everybody had the opportunity to review what David put together, but I think there is a common element between what David, the proposal is, and what really the fenestration industry, he does call for a study. He wants to work closely with FEMA and, you know, during the, you know, when you do damage assessment to collect additional data about water intrusion to really try to really define part of the problem. So it's really, he does really a touch on the fact that there is, you know, a need to try to define the problems. And throughout the project that we have done, the objective of all the two projects that we did is mainly to define the problems. But his approach, I think, if you read it, it has some similarity to what the fenestration industry is speaking of.
Right. I think you're right, Mo. And I mean, really, it's more of, it's not a specific proposal, just like the fenestration engine. It's more of an approach, just like they suggested, which really is very sensible and logical in terms of how to move forward. Committee members, does anybody wish to say anything about that?
I have one comment, Schnellman.
Sure, Jeff, go ahead.
Part of the proposal here says they want to determine the level of acceptance of Florida homeowners to experience some leakage in design level hurricane should determined, and then later on, I'm not reading it, but says something about the practicality of designing a leak-proof building. In my experience as a home builder, not a high-rise builder, but when you ask the customer if they want something, the answer is almost always yes. Then if you ask the question, do you want something and you have to pay for it, then quite often you get a different answer. And that answer is usually, are you kidding me? I'm not going to spend that much for it. So I think we need to be very careful of pursuing research that does not have a cost element attached to it. Otherwise, we're just going to be wasting money. Thank you.
Thank you.
Vince Sayas here on the heels of Jeff's comment. Some leakage is required just so you don't create a vacuum. I mean, a sliding glass door is not going to operate in a totally pressurized area when you got to open it. It's going to weigh a ton. And you're basically going to have to be, you know, quite fit to get that door open if there isn't a way for that to breathe and equalize the exterior pressure with the interior pressure. So some of it might actually just be educating homeowners, but absolutely. I built several developments in my time, and I can attest to the statement that everybody wants, you know, a bridge to the moon, but when they get the price tag, they're like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. But realistically, we do need a little bit of equalization effect, if you would, between windows and fenestrations so that they operate, so that the common person can operate these components.
Okay.
This is Mark Michelson.
Sure, Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, I completely agree with what Jeff and Vince just said. So they both stated it well. I just wanted to echo that and pay my support. Thank you.
Great. Anybody else? All right, does anybody from the public wish to comment on this aspect?
Yeah,
Jay, hey, Jay, you, for some reason, there's a lot of sort of static, I guess, is the word coming through. Is there anything you can do with your audio?
I'm going to try my headset.
Yeah, maybe that'll help because it was a little rough before. I didn't want to interrupt you, but...
How's this? Is this better?
Oh, my God, yes. It's amazing. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I just, you know, the question about cost, and that's an important question. You know, there's no free lunch in any of this stuff, and that's really part of the underlying reason for the research program that we've been, you know, working on trying to put together with Art Degatano that we looked at earlier. If you don't have hazards gauged at different, you know, risk levels, you never know where to calibrate performance at, or you don't even know how to answer the question, even if you know what the resistance or response performance is from testing or whatever. That doesn't answer the question. It's probably the most important question is, okay, now what level of performance do you want? For what limit state? Are you worried about a drip coming through every 30 years? Or are you worried about something that's significant enough for contents damage every 20 years or 50 years? And if you don't have that hazard mapped out such that you can guide those decisions on how to apply the forensic information you might gain, You'll never answer that question, whether from a cost perspective or a practical perspective. So that was part of the reason for putting that research plan together, to be able to dovetail with work like this so that those important questions could be answered, because they're going to need to be answered for it to be applied in the building code.
Absolutely. Okay, thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to comment? Okay. Then I'm going to come back to the committee. Any other thoughts before I go ahead and do a closing roll call?
Belcher, not a thought, but I don't know if I'm confused. Hadn't the commission just approved a rainfall study with FIU? And didn't they say they were working with some national group on that as well? Is this something different than what Jay's talking about? I'm not sure if we've got two different projects going there or three different projects going, or maybe I'm just confused.
This is Mo Madani. Yeah, the project that we funded, FIU is working with, is for sea level rise, determining the projections for rainfall, and mainly specific to the code to adjust the maps within the code. I think they are working with projects. They're working with NOAA and also with Water Management District in the state and DEB. So a lot of, it has some national really aspects to it, but it's really, the focus is the state of Florida at this point.
But they are looking to update the rainfall maps in the code, correct?
For Florida, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the project was called Updating the Statewide Extreme Rainfall Projections, yeah. Okay, good. Any other committee members have anything else they want to say?
Yeah, hi, this is Ann Cope again. My limited understanding, and so Jay may need to chime in there, but my understanding of the one that, that we talked about from Florida and quantifying the extreme rainfall rates is that that's, the amounts of rain coming down, and that the added interesting piece that I know I was looking forward to in the Cornell proposal was to try to tie that together with the climatology of wind, because if we know the rainfall rate, we know how much rain is coming down. But what's very interesting about the building enclosure is that you somehow have to tie that together with the wind, because it's the wind-driven rain and the part that's coming sideways that's trying to get in the walls or the windows, and that's the piece that I do not think is going to be coming from the proposal that's already been discussed about extreme rainfall rates in the state of Florida, and I just wanted to put that out there on the table.
Okay.
Yeah, you're correct. The wind is not part of. That's where they were focusing on the flood-related, more of a sea rise level and the projection of the rainfall. So, yeah, you're right. The wind is not a component of it.
Right, and I think at the next meeting, as Mo said earlier, the committee can talk about what types of projects they think would be appropriate for principal investigators to put proposals for, and, that would be a good time to sort of discuss what we've heard so far and other ideas, and principal investigators can then take that feedback and say, yeah, I'm going to put together a proposal, or I have something and I can bring it forward. All right, any other committee members have any thoughts? Okay, then let's go ahead. I wanted to rectify one thing, is that I neglected initially to acknowledge our staff who are on the call. And that's Chris Howell, Mo Madani, Tom Campbell, Justin Fogle, and Jim Hammer. So I just wanted to let everybody know that they're all on the call, too, when I did the initial roll call. All right, closing roll call. Commissioner Schock.
Here.
Sergio.
Sergio's here.
Joe Belcher.
Here.
Commissioner Compton. I know you're not here. Ann Cope?
I'm here.
Here. Mark Michelson? Still here.
Here.
And I see Craig Perino, you're on, or were. Yep. Craig? You're muted. I'm going to mark you here because I see you're there. Yeah, you are here. All right, John Plisage? John?
Here.
Very good. Angela Schadel. Angela?
Yeah.
Go on. She's still here. Brad Schiffer. Brad's still here. Brad?
I'm on.
Jeffrey Schillman. Jeff?
Yeah.
Yep. Viv Sahar.
Still here.
And Brian Swope. Brian, you still on? All right, well, we still end up with the same number of people. Just we added Craig Carino, and we apparently lost Brian toward the end, but we retain a quorum, which is the main point. Commissioner Schock, would you go ahead and adjourn us, please?
Thank you, Jeff, and thank you, everybody, for your participation. Being no further business at this time, we stand adjourned. Thank you.
Thanks,
thanks,
guys.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, guys.